Hey, welcome back to The Hustle. This is season two. Here we are.
Season two. We've had a few months off.
Yeah.
A lot going on.
Yeah, I've mostly been watching the show Fargo, and I think, Nathan, for you, that's pretty much what I've been doing since the last episode.
Vikings came back on. I like that show.
Oh, you're into that? Yeah. I saw an episode of that when we were on our way to Finland last year. That was kind of trippy thing to watch on the way over there. But yeah, so in season two, we've been talking about this for a while. This is the first episode. We were just really thinking that we'd totally rework the framework to be a little bit more shoot from the hip. Reason being that we're spending a lot of time planning and kind of realized that we'd like to produce more episodes like quicker and perhaps shorter too. So
I don't know, we got a lot of good feedback from you guys, our listeners, about how you love the show. So, you know, we want to try to find a way to release more regularly than once, once every 2 months or whatever we were doing.
Yeah. And in the interest of what we've been doing, in the off time, Anthony, I know you went to Epicurus. Maybe it'd be cool to hear from you on what that was like. I'm sure it's a mouthful, but
it's one of those things. I mean, I could probably write a big long blog post about it. In fact, there are some pretty long blog posts about it. It's just, but in summary, it was
for those that don't know, Epicurus.
Yeah. Epicurus is a new design conference founded by Dan Petty, who is a really awesome, talented designer and a really just cool, down to earth dude. I didn't go to Epicurus one, so I didn't know what to expect. But and going into the one we went to, which was in Hawaii, we didn't know what to expect. First of all, Dan somehow convinced the sponsors to basically pay for everything. So they paid for the flights.
That's crazy.
They paid for the lodging. They had the like most awesome, like high demand houses booked on the pipeline on the North Shore, like the Volcom house and the,
and like Dan Petty seems to, a lot of his social media and everything kind of talks about surfing and like getting out and doing things outdoors and stuff. So that was sort of,
It was all about like, the basic theme. My takeaway was, it was, about getting a bunch of really talented people in one place. And instead of talking about design or business, like experiencing life. So it was all about surfing and getting out of your comfort zone and trying new crazy things. And there was a lot. I mean,
Did you surf?
I was not going to do it, but then I was like, you know what? Like I'm in that one area of the world that is like the surfing capital of the world. Right. And there were pro surfers teaching people how to surf. Another thing the sponsors paid for and surfed. That's one of those things I never thought I would enjoy, but actually left Hawaii with a desire to want to pursue that as a hobby. I never thought I would find a sport that I would get into.
So did you hang 10? I don't even know what that means actually.
Yeah. I don't really know what that means. I know, riding in helicopter rides and hiking to waterfalls and stuff like that.
It was terrible.
It was really terrible.
That sounds terrible.
Yeah.
Actually, while you guys were at Epicurus, I was at Adobe Max. That was pretty cool. Yeah. Holy cow. They had a lot of stuff to reveal, just like new technologies coming out. They had Nick Offerman there and they 3D printed his face like on stage. That was weird. Like you could do, like they had like some 3D printing like extension that you could.
Wow.
Yeah, it was ridiculous.
Did they also, is that where they announced that new prototyping tool? I can't remember the name of it.
Yeah, we should totally know this, but I'm totally blanking on what the name of it was too. Comet.
Yeah.
That's where they revealed it. I actually like was working at the hotel, working on my talk and missed that announcement. And I got there and then Seth, you know, from Photoshop, who was on last season, he's like, did you hear about Comet? And I could tell that he's like, I've known about this forever and wanted to tell you. But yeah, no, that's really, it's this really interesting thing that is hopefully going to really, in my opinion, it looks like it sort of merges, something like InVision with what Photoshop/Sketch maybe is right now, which is pretty exciting. And then I think maybe even has some like level of micro interaction capability, like what, like animation, like what Principle or Pixade does.
I haven't dug in, but it looks like it could actually give some of these products a run for the money.
Yeah, I think I'm like not sure whether I'm really holding my breath for it or not, but I am excited for what it's just going to do to the overall landscape. Like, it's going to push the other tools too for sure.
Well, with Adobe Max, I mean, what was it like giving your first presentation to hundreds of people? And then not only did you do that once, you did it twice.
Yeah. I did it twice because they were just like, we have extra time on Wednesday. You want to come back? I was like, yeah, sure. Like the inertia that it took to get to Adobe Max, like, and do the talk was like months of preparation and tons of stress. Like me just not being sure if I'm like, is this what I want to say? You know? And then to just be able to just do it again, I was like, yeah, I'll just knock out two of these, but it was cool. They had like sort of these breakout sessions that were like, you know, the main theater is like 5,000 people or something like that. It's ridiculous. They had some great talks in there, but then they have these breakout sessions that are, you know, probably more, what the bulk of the conference was, but just people talking about really specific stuff. And so I did one on mobile design, and Sophie Shepherd did one on like some responsive design stuff and sort of like designing a system, which was pretty interesting as well. It was pretty cool. It was really nerve-wracking. I felt great after I finished,
yeah.
But it was pretty much like pins and needles the whole time up until then. That was sort of my first time doing anything like that exactly. I did a Creative South thing earlier this year.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
But that was like a workshop. This was like an actual like talk. So yeah, it was good. I'm excited to have done it. Maybe
you should share your experience on how long it took to like put that together. I don't think most people know how hard it is to put together.
I tweeted about this. I was like, I would rather have done this with 1 hour's notice than 6 months. I had like 6 months notice because I rewrote that motherfucking thing like 74 times because I was just continually like second guessing, like, oh, maybe I want to say this. And then like new tools came out. And so I want to talk about the new tools, you know, and I would have much rather been like a little bit more improv, but it was kind of torture. Just like all of the waiting, you know, but Adobe Max itself, dude, huge, just big. Like everything in LA was just big. Like it took me, like I looked on the map and I'm like, oh, it's only 8 blocks. I'll just walk from the hotel. And dude, 8 blocks in Los Angeles is like 40 blocks in Austin. It took forever and everything was just huge. Like it was really overwhelming and cool too. Like a lot of cool people there. At any rate, something else happened recently, which was some bad news from a beloved product that I think you were into RDO too, right?
I was early on,
yeah. So RDO's kind of, I guess, been parted out to, was it Pandora that bought them up or whatever?
Yep.
Yeah. So I think maybe in the waves of what happened with Apple Music, RDO was, I guess, the first one to go, which is a bummer. I think it was more niche for niche group of people than maybe a Spotify or Pandora or whatever.
I also really, you know, originally liked it because it was a U.S.-made product versus Spotify, which is, you know, European. And so I was like, well, if I'm going to spend my money, I would rather spend that with an American company. But
you know, I didn't know that, actually. That's pretty cool. The thing that I liked about RDO, Spotify, when I first started listening to RDO, I guess for those of you who don't know, RDO is just like a music streaming service. You pay like, there's like a free version with ads, or you could pay like 10 bucks a month and just get unlimited streaming and like downloads on your phone or your computer or whatever. Just, it's a lot like Spotify. But when RDO first came out, man, both RDO and Spotify were really different products than they are today. More so Spotify is really different than
Spotify felt very developer-y, like unfinished, and yeah. RDO felt very thoughtfully polished.
I thought so too. I mean, like not even just from a design standpoint, but almost also like just a product as a whole standpoint, right?
Yeah.
The thing that hooked me on RDO was the feature where First of all, I like that they had a social graph, and I know Spotify does that too. Although I think it's largely based on Facebook, like who you're friends with on Facebook. But Artio had this feature where you're like, yeah, I love this artist, you know, and like whenever that artist would come out with a new album, like it would like update you, like, hey, mm-hmm. that artist that you know has a new album, you get to listen to it like first. Like I've never been able to keep tabs on that many artists, so that was an awesome feature for me. So that kind of got me really excited, and I actually had some like talks with a friend of mine, Adam Hull. He was really excited about RDO too, but then he split off and went to Spotify, and he and I kind of had like back and forth. I made fun of him for listening to Spotify, and he made fun of me for listening to RDO because he felt like it was like unusable for some reason. I think he said like the buttons were too small on it or something, but I kind of got tired of RDO towards the end because it seemed like there was just no follow through with like new features and stuff rolling out. It seemed like they're running out of steam, and you know, apparently, I guess that's true.
There's been so many players in the space. It seems like it's about time for that to kind of be whittled down. I don't know about you, but I've spent just almost like to-do lists. I've spent so much time trying to figure out, you know, whether I would use Apple Music or RDO or Spotify or Google Music, or, you know, and when to use Pandora. And like my biggest frustration with these products is that there is a lot of innovation, but I'm not a spring chicken, you know, like my mental models when dealing with music are more aligned with traditional ways of organizing things. You know, here are my albums. These are my favorite songs. And this is how I like things, organize them, you know, or I organize them by genre and things like that. And my biggest frustration with all these services from a design perspective is that they all do a really poor job in helping onboard a user to their unique paradigms and mental models. You know, like what does it mean when you thumb up a track on RDO or Spotify or Google Music? Yeah. Each one of those platforms handles it completely different.
Totally different. Yeah.
What does adding it to your library mean? Does that mean you like it, or does that mean it's in your library, or in like?
Okay. I mean, I had a sort of like an exchange with both Spotify support and a guy named Brian Griffey, who was he was on an episode last season too, but I had this issue because Spotify, you know, has like a shuffle button for like the play, like when you open up an album. Mm-hmm. I think I can identify with you a little bit because you said like, I like to organize it the way I like to organize it. You know, like when I go to pull up an album, I just want to listen to the album like straight through. Yeah. And the only option, even with a paid account, is shuffle.
This is ridiculous.
And then like they said, okay, well you can just play one song and then it'll just play the whole album. So I was like, oh, but then apparently I had something in my queue, which a lot of people don't even know that you can have a queue. That means just like what's next. If you have something in your queue, you play one song off that album, then it's going to play whatever's in your queue. So you have to clear a queue out. I hope this isn't too.
Yeah.
I hope this, yeah. People are probably tired of hearing this, but if you try to clear a queue out, then it deletes it from your library. It's like, yeah, it's really
frustrating. It's frustrating, and so I just haven't. I don't know if I'll ever land on.
I think they're just so based on discovery and pushing new music, which is a positive thing. But if you just want to go and like you know what you want to listen to, maybe they're just like in their minds thinking, yeah, that's what iTunes is for. Or, you know, you have your music already, so you don't need to find new music. I don't know. Maybe that's what it is.
Or you know, like, or maybe the, you know, like you said, maybe they're designing for themselves. Like,
yeah,
the lead designer is designing it the way that he would do it. But
yeah.
I don't know, you know, like, and maybe, you know, kind of related to, you know, some other products recently, maybe they're designing it for a younger audience that thinks differently about that.
I think so.
Has never owned like physical music and isn't
designing it for the Snapchat crowd. Yeah.
Snapchat. What a piece of shit.
It took me like, I had a harder learning curve with Snapchat than I had with anything, I felt like it was the first day of school, like when I tried to figure that app out. But I actually finally figured it out. Like Edgar and Fee helped me. I felt so dumb like using this app. But,
yeah, me too. Like I mean, some of the gestures and stuff are cool, but what does that mean for like the way younger audiences are going to grow into and what their expectations of products are? I mean,
I don't know.
Do younger people like that?
I mean, think they do. I think, like, I have this theory, completely unfounded theory, but I think that kids, like younger people, liked Snapchat because their parents couldn't figure out how it worked. And like they could just like, you know, text and video, do all sorts of video chat stuff and everything. And like there's no, you can't track it. Like your mom or dad can't like go through and see your history because it just disappears after 30 seconds or whatever anyway. So. In 24 hours. But yeah, I didn't mean to go off on Snapchat, but I've really been messing around with it a lot lately and it's actually really fun, but it just goes to more of that temporary. I think that's a good segue, you know, from the Spotify argument, because it's more about like, what am I going to experience right now? And then I don't care after that experience.
Right.
You know what I mean? And my brain doesn't work that way. Although I find it, like, as a designer, I find it interesting that it's going that way. But as a user, I'm frustrated.
Yeah. I think I'll probably have to change careers if I need to design.
What did you end up going with, as a replacement of, Audio? What did you change to?
Well, I use Google Music, but I mean, I have equal frustrations with it, you know?
What don't you like about Google Music? Because that's what I actually ultimately went to after trying Spotify.
I love the product. I mean, I think it's got a core set of features. But after coming from other products like Pandora and maybe Audio, all this time for the last year or two, I've been using Google. And I would thumb up songs and playlists. And then I realized, oh, when I thumb that up, it's adding it to a playlist of things. It assumes I like that song. And when I thumb something down, it never plays it anymore. But I was doing thumbs up and thumbs down and contextual to the playlist. So, you know, if I was listening to a heavy metal playlist and some punk rock song came in, I would thumb it down.
Even though you liked that song,
yeah,
just not for
right I thought now. I was tuning a station.
Uh-huh.
But what Google is actually doing is saying, oh, you don't like that song.
Mm-hmm. So they never play a song for you.
Yeah, so I don't know. I don't know.
I found that rating a song thing to be highly unrewarding. You know, like I'll thumb things down and then hear them later. You know what else I wish? I wish that these online music streaming services had like, maybe I like this band, you know, maybe I like Mew or whatever, but that doesn't mean that I also want to hear every live version, every remix, you know, like.
Yeah.
Like to me, that's not like discovering music. That's like discovering the stuff that I don't want to hear kind of thing. That's a little side trail, but
that's annoying as well.
Yeah. I ended up on Google Music. Fee kind of like sold me on it. It's sort of like minorly gesture based, but the other thing that's really interesting about it is like, I don't know if this is a bug or a loophole, but, like my son Caleb like goes to sleep to like certain like, kind of like slow acoustic guitar songs. So he'll be listening to that while he's sleeping in his, you know, in his crib. I'll listen to something else on my computer and I can listen to it at the same time. And the same time, Jenny could be like driving the car somewhere, my wife, and listening to something else all under one account. It was not the case with Audio, which was kind of a cool feature because it had that like remote mode,
right,
where you could control like something over there. And it was weird because it wasn't controlling over Wi-Fi or anything. It was controlling it over the cloud, basically. So you could control what's being listened to from them. But anyway, Google Music didn't have that. It just lets you listen to a lot of different things at once, which is great.
I do wish they had a native Mac app, though.
Yeah, I agree with you. You have to listen to it through the browser if you want to. But
I wish I could work on design problems like that, like those. I mean,
yeah, that would be fun. Music. Did you try Apple Music, by the way?
No, I didn't. I mean, because I don't use an iPhone, but I mean.
Oh, right.
I mean, I you know, Natalie was telling me the day that once that date hit where everyone's free trial went up, that they ended up losing like millions.
Oh, really?
Of users that never converted over to Pro.
Yeah. Yeah, like Taylor Swift had something to do with like the way. Oh, because they had to pay the artist during the trial period. That's what it was. She took like a stand on that, which was kind of funny. But the thing I was going to bring up about just like Apple Music was just my favorite thing about the Apple Music was the onboarding experience. And then I never liked any single thing about that product ever again.
I think Google and Spotify now should probably, you know, think about that, you know, because I think they could get people to get more out of the experience if they just simply said like, this is how to get the most out of this.
Right. You know? Right. Yeah. Yeah, I think so. It's just like taking away the power of choosing how you want to listen to music is like really frustrating. Google Music does that fine. Like for me, handles it. There's a couple of things I don't like about it. Like there's a total lack of a social graph on Google Music. Like I can't even like share a song. Like I couldn't send you a link to a song. At least as far as I know, I think I've tried that. And like Ardio was pretty cool because you had like this whole like right. You could share it to any platform or yeah. Anyway, just comparing those things. Like, but yeah, Apple Music was like, man, I haven't talked to a lot of people about the features they had, but it was just totally not my cup of tea. So. Yeah. I think that was quite a tangent we went on the streaming thing. I could honestly, I think we could have an entire episode just on like the thumbs up, thumbs down thing, because like I have a lot of tangents that are like sort of like, it seems like such a missed opportunity just the way that they sort of misuse that feature. I think at least like you could have, you know, you could be forming like your own playlist based on a thumbs up or thumbs down.
You know, and then, you know, same thing when you like something enough to add it to your library.
Yeah.
What does that mean? Right. Like, am I just saving this, or are future recommendations from whatever service is like going to assume that you actually like all of that? But like you're saying, like for the music collectors, you may not like, there might be 12 songs on that album. You might only really love four, mm-hmm. but if you really love the album, you want to listen to it front to, you know, from beginning to end as it was intended to be.
Yeah. I mean, you take away the experience that the artist crafted,
especially when some of the songs seamlessly transition into
each
other and it's not so cut and dry.
Like, yeah. A lot of bands that I listened to sort of really like leaned on that and made cool kind of experiences, took you on cool journeys through that. So yeah, that's sort of lost. Well, we wanted to talk a little bit about the Apple TV, but I think we're out of time. Let's keep these short. Maybe we'll tackle that one next time. So we've got some pretty exciting guests lined up. I won't say who they are yet because I don't know who's solid and who's not, but I'm really, really looking forward to this. We're going to try and do these a lot more often.
Yeah. 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 Be on the lookout. Like Rick said, there's going to be a lot of really cool guests. We're going to keep these a little bit shorter, so it'll be a good mix of, you know, talk about design and news and interviews with really cool designers and makers of digital things.
Right. And just like when we design products, we really thrive on user feedback. So if anyone has any thoughts on the new format, we'd love to hear it. Just tweet us. We're at HustleCast, right? Yeah, on Twitter. So cool. Looking forward to hearing from you guys and looking forward to seeing you next time.
Check you later.
This episode is brought to you by The Iron Yard. The Iron Yard in Austin is now offering a 12-week intensive program in user interface design. The Iron Yard will teach you the tools and skills you need to become a professional interface designer and then help you find a job. If you're interested in launching a new career in tech and design, visit their website, theironyard.com. Scholarships are available for the summer semester. Learn user interface design at The Iron Yard. Life's too short for the wrong career. Hustle is brought to you by FunSize, a digital product design agency in Austin, Texas that creates delightful, innovative products for mobile, web, and beyond. Visit us on Twitter @FunSize or visit our website at funsize.co.